Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Limits, I haven't had much of a problem with Don Kelly so far, but I did last night. And I don't know if you did as well. I texted you real time when it was happening. So they're making a comeback. Cruz hits a rocket. Even Key Brian Hayes hits a home run right after you text me that you can no longer watch Key Brian Hayes take any more at-bats.
That was hilarious.
That was great.
Hilarious timing.
Not 5 minutes later, he actually puts a ball over a fence. So, in the last inning, they are making a comeback here. They're down by a run. The first two guys get on, and up comes Adam Frazier. And Kelly had him bunt. And while I understand, you know, it's an obvious strategy choice there, you would obviously think of that. Should we get the runners to second and third with one out? But I'm not trading an out for a possible advancement there. I'm just not. And here's why. That's your hottest hitter. Adam Frazier's batting almost 400 in the last 12 games. That's A. B, the next two guys up are Henry, Davis, and Hayes. How much, I don't care what that Hayes hit a homer. How much confidence do I have that Henry, Davis, and Hayes are going to get that run in? Not a lot, because there's a lot of swing and miss there. A lot of swing and miss. I am not taking the bat out of my hottest hitter's hands in Adam Frazier there. In fact, he tried a sacrifice bunt. He wasn't able to do it. He tried it a couple of weeks ago and bunted right back to the pitcher. Yep. So you're going to go back to that? Well, it was the first time that I've really disagreed, like blatantly disagreed with something that Kelly did. After there was one strike, because he missed and got a strike on a bunt attempt, you had guys playing up on him. He had the whole field. And he's really good with bat control. I just thought the timing was perfect to just let him hit. Do you agree?
In the moment, I was okay with it. And especially because he was able to move the runners over. There's still just one out.
Well, he finally did with a swinging bunt.
Yeah, it was a swinging.
With two strikes. So he really never got a chance to get an advantage or to really hit.
Yeah,
you know?
It was a slow hopper to first. So he successfully did what he was supposed to do, just not the way he was supposed to do it. I thought in that situation, like I was obviously concerned about Hayes. I was hoping, and maybe that's the real problem here, that Henry Davis would be the one that would be able to come through, even with just a deep fly ball to the outfield. But Henry Davis, like he did all game yesterday, pop up, weak pop up, not able to drive the ball deep enough into the outfield to be able to score the run. So hindsight being 20/20, yeah, I wish that they would have let Frazier hit, especially.
It's not hindsight. It's foresight. I was saying it right at the time. I'm not just saying it because of the way it turned out. Henry Davis is hitting 195. He has struck out in a quarter of his at-bats. There's a lot of swing and miss there, a lot of pop-up there. I just don't have confidence that he's going to get the run in necessarily. And then, my God, if he doesn't get it in, you go to Key Brian Hayes.
Would you have rather them tried to double steal on the first pitch of the Adam Frazier at-bat?
Maybe.
They've been very aggressive on the bases.
Anything but that. It feels to me like Frazier is getting like good contact even on his outs lately.
Yeah.
It just felt like the wrong move when you have a lineup that struggles like theirs does and you have a red hot hitter. Hold on.
And I mean, Frazier has been making a lot of hard contact, because that's also something where you could hit the ball hard to the outfield, you find a gap, and he's been finding some gaps, and then you're talking about the winning run potentially scoring from first base.
Right.
So,
that's the other thing. Exactly.
In the moment, I was okay with it, just because I thought, look, they've done better at being able to manufacture runs, and Donnie Kelly earned the benefit of the doubt from me based on what he's done over the last couple of weeks, where I wasn't immediately second-guessing that decision like I would have with Shelton, because I feel like he has a better feel for the game than the other manager ever did, and just ultimately how it transpires, maybe being a former player. So I was not completely against it, but looking at what came next, I probably should have, Joe. I think ultimately you are right.
I just don't take the bat out of that guy's hands right now, and I didn't think that Adam Frazier was ever going to get this hot, and he's been really, really good. I give him credit. I didn't like to see it. Majinski coming back, I think that's a good thing. I think the bullpen has been pretty good, and now he's going to be with Ashcraft, and I think that gives you a couple of young guys, a couple good arms back there with Bednar and Santana. I like it. You?
Yeah, Noah Heil saying that he's going to be used primarily as a bulk reliever. I don't even want him to be a bulk reliever. What does bulk reliever mean? Just eat up some innings whenever they need him to in the sixth or seventh inning when somebody doesn't go deep into the game? I want to see Carmen Majinski in the eighth. I want to see him in the seventh. Now, maybe that means he'll pitch the seventh and eighth in high leverage situations, but I think he's a pretty solid reliever, and he showed in the first two innings that he pitched and all of his starts that he knows how to get guys out first time through the order. It was not good second time through, and definitely not good third time through. I would give him high leverage opportunities, Joe.
Me too. And I think he has the arm for it, and I think he can be just like Ashcraft, that they could sort of, you know, swap that role from time to time. Which Pirates are going to get traded? Limits. When you look up and down this roster, is there anybody off limits, so to speak?
Other than the obvious Paul Skenes?
Is he off limits?
Yeah. He's definitely off limits for them. Unless you
Is he for you?
Yes. With the 99.999 caveat on it, unless the Red Sox offered me like Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, who just got called up, that hit like a 490-foot home run the other day in AAA, and which basically prompted the Red Sox to call him up.
So, well, you wouldn't even hear that if he was off limits, so at least you're listening.
I would only listen unless it's extreme. Like, I would hang up the phone in every other instance anytime anybody says Paul Skenes, unless they say, wait, I'll give you my top five prospects before you hang up. Then I would listen. That would be the only instance that I would.
Yeah.
Him and Cruz are the only two that I would not trade. I would not
trade.
You
just wouldn't trade Cruz?
No, I'm not trading Cruz.
He's off limits for you. Limits.
There's no limits on the trade packages to everyone but Paul Skenes and O'Neill Cruz. I would not trade
him. How about
him.
Brian Reynolds?
I would listen, but I would not be looking to move him.
Why?
Don't you want somebody that can anchor your lineup?
Maybe I can get somebody different and younger.
We're talking about how poor their offense has been. Brian Reynolds has been their most consistent hitter over the last 4 or 5 years. Do you really want to take him out of it?
If I get a younger guy who I think has more upside, yeah.
Why not pair somebody with Brian Reynolds to add more offense?
That'd be nice.
Not like a one-for-one type of trade.
He's hitting .235 with a .690 OPS. We're headed toward July here. I know he's hit better lately, but he helped to bury them.
He did. There's no denying that. He has been a historically slow starter outside of the year where they went, I think it was 20-80, had like 18 RBIs in the first like 25 games. But no, I would not move him. You would?
Of course I would listen.
Well, yeah, I said I'd listen, but I would not
I'm not looking necessarily to move him, but I would listen for sure.
Now, are you ready for this admission, Joe? Because you know me. When I am wrong, I will admit that I am wrong. And when I am idiotic, I will admit that I'm idiotic. And Key Brian Hayes, I'm starting to get with you now. I'm starting to trend in your direction. I'm paddling over to your boat. That Key Brian Hayes offensively is just completely irritating me. And I know he hit a ball to a pretty deeper part of the ballpark out in the left yesterday, but I'm frustrated with his at-bats. I really am.
Well, of course I'd be looking to trade him. Of course I would. And somebody might bite. Somebody might think they can get more offense out of him, and they're getting an elite, one of the very best defensive players in all of baseball. McCutchen, I think, it won't want to trade, right?
No, he's not.
He wants to be here. He's having a good year. I give him credit, too. He can still, those hands still fly, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, he's hitting 260.
Through the strike zone? Well, more importantly, he's hitting for some power. He's slugging almost 400, and he's been just generally pretty good. I think he leads the team in doubles, for example, limits. How about the fact they only have one double-digit home run guy? How about IKF? Is he gone?
He's, I think, 100% gone. I don't see any way they bring him back. Now, he has done some really good things for them. We, in the early portion of the season, I think, railed on IKF a little bit for just not being able to, you know, have gap-to-gap power, and his defense was a little bit shaky. IKF has been one of their best players this year offensively. And I know he only has one home run, but he's hitting 300. He is currently in the races, maybe not for a batting title, but he's up there with some of the top guys in all of baseball in terms of batting average. He makes solid, consistent contact. He gets on base a lot. He flips the lineup over well. Somebody is going to pay for IKF to add to their team. It might be as a super utility role, but a playoff team is going to want IKF.
How about poor Mitch Keller? Would he be on the block for you? What is he, 1-9?
I feel so bad
for
Mitch
Keller.
Is he 1-9? Yeah, another loss yesterday.
That is ridiculous, and it's not his fault.
No, not at all.
Even yesterday, he battled.
His ERA's ballooned a little bit because he gave up, what, 7 to the Yankees in the home opener, and he had one other start. I think he gave up 5. Other than that, Mitch Keller, over his last 5 to 6 starts, has been really, really good. And I know he gave up a couple of runs yesterday and, you know, wasn't entirely ideal, but he is 1-9 this season. He goes 6 innings yesterday. Keller, this is the earned runs over his last couple of starts. And yes, the Houston start was really bad. He gave up 6 earned. If we take that out, 3 against Miami, over 6. 3 against San Diego, over 6. 1 against Milwaukee, over 6. 2, 1 against Cincinnati, over 6. 2 against the Mets, over 7. The point of the matter is, he has been pitching pretty well for what you'd expect him to be, a number 3 starter.
Do you think other teams still think he's desirable?
Yes, I do.
So do I.
Despite, I mean...
And at some point, this guy's going to have to pull the trigger on pitching for a bat.
Yes.
And whether that would include him, Heaney, I think, is gone, right? Bailey Falter?
Yeah, Heaney will be gone. I don't think Falter will be gone. I think they'll probably stick around with Falter. They still have 3 years of control with him.
One of the things Zangrilli said when we brought up Bubba Chandler as a trade candidate for Roman Anthony, remember the caller suggested that trade? Roman Anthony, the number one hitting prospect in all of baseball, just got recalled, just got his first hit. Zangrilli said, you're taking a bigger risk if you're the Pirates there, because hitting is less predictable translating from AAA to the majors than pitching. So let me ask you, Limits. Let's say this kid, Roman Anthony, comes up and starts raking for a while and gives you a little bit of proof that, this has a good chance to translate. Then would you do that deal? I would.
Yeah, I think I would. Just because we know how poor they have been at being able to put offense out of there on the field. If you have, let's say, Anthony in center, or you want to keep Cruz in center and you put Anthony out in the left, him, Cruz, and Reynolds, I think makes for a pretty good outfield. Or even if you shift Reynolds to DH next year, if McCutchen retires and you add another outfield bat, I think that would significantly help to lengthen their lineup, even with just one guy. You're talking about the number one hitting prospect in all of baseball. And if you could try to bank on that, knowing how much pitching depth that you have in your organization. Now, that depth is going to get thin, and it has started to get thin with Barco a little bit banged up. He's back now. But Jared Jones, what's going on with Oviedo? Like, the depth has been tested. We haven't seen it on full display. I mean, thankfully, there haven't been a ton of injuries. But yeah, I would ultimately make that deal to improve the offense.
So would I. And I wish O'Neill Cruz, every time I think he's truly going to take off, he takes a step back. He had a 913 OPS back in April, and it looked like, wow, this is it, man. This is the launching pad here. Then he hits 202 in June with with four homers and 84 at-bats. He strikes out a ton. And now, or in May, and then in June, he's striking out half his at-bats, 14 of 28. I know he had a monster shot last night, but I still am wondering if he's going to take off and be the guy we think he'll be. His OPS is way down from what it was.
Yeah.
So are you still looking at him as a candidate for a long-term deal right now?
Candidate for a long-term deal. Oh, that's a great question. I would say yes. What also gives you hesitation? I feel like there might be some more hesitation in there for you.
No, just I want a superstar. I don't want just want a good player.
Yeah.
And right now he's just he's aside from the crazy numbers that he'll put up on a home run.
Oh yeah, like just like yesterday. Did you see how he pimped that home? Did you see how Cruz pimped that home run yesterday?
How hard he hits it and everything else. He's becoming a better outfielder. He needs to be a star, and he's not that yet. He's just not.
No, he's definitely shown flashes of it.
For sure.
Just a couple of weeks ago, he hit, like, what, three home runs in, like, an eight-game span. He was making good plays defensively. He's stealing bases. He's one of the best in all of baseball and stolen bases. There are so many signs in there, and I think we've seen the signs more this year than any year. So, I mean, if we're really talking, like, a couple of weeks ago was thrown out there, Noah Hyles and others, $200 million deal. Maybe because of these dips and valleys that he continues to have, do you bank on him and sign him for 150 and try to go lower than that? Do you meet in the middle with what Reynolds was at 107 and what people think Cruz could get with $200 million and go 150 over the course of a seven-year deal? Could you do that?
Maybe.
I'd be willing to do it. I would at least want to see the Pirates allocate those resources to try.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. Right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Limits, I'm dying to hear from Dan Muse what he actually sounds like. Do we have any clips yet?
We do. I was a little surprised by what Dan Muse sounded like, too. I expected it to be...
Well, I'm not surprised yet because I haven't heard him.
Well, I said I was surprised because I thought he would sound like this. But in reality, Dan Muse actually sounds like this. This is his excitement on coaching the Penguins.
You can feel the want for collaboration and building together. And that's just so exciting to be a part of that. And then through this process, you see what an exciting time it is to come in here. You have some legendary players of our game here at Pittsburgh, future Hall of Famers. You have these exciting young players that are coming up. And then you have a little bit of everything in between. And so to have an opportunity to work together with everybody here to make sure that these players are continuing to grow and whatever wherever they are in their career, just can't tell you how exciting of an opportunity that is.
He sounds like somebody that I can't quite place.
He has a little Sully in him.
A little Sully?
I think a little Sully with the accent.
Well, we'll hear more from him he and Kyle Dubas had their introductory news, the Muse introductory news conference today. But in the meantime, we have the Limitless Express. Please, Limits, we need the intro, and then let's go.
Yes, Joe. Let's jump on board, everyone, to the Limitless Express.
I love you. I love you.
They call them trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same thing.
Shall I call you Ron, Dr. Dick? What should we go with
here? You can call me Ron.
Let's do it.
All right, Joe. First item up for grabs here. What is going on with the Cincinnati Bengals? Like, Shamar Stewart is calling out Cincinnati. He is their first-round pick from Texas A&M.
He didn't even have any sacks in college.
Like 2.5 last year. Like, the guy is a pass rusher that doesn't get to the passer of the football well enough to bring him down. So that's an issue. They cut Jermaine Pratt on Monday, and Trey Hendrickson is currently not at mandatory minicamp as he waits for a new contract. So, Joe, when I think about how good the Bengals could possibly be this year because their offense is incredible – they're not going to have anybody of note on defense, like other than Hendrickson, who will eventually get probably signed.
Maybe.
The Bengals' defense might legitimately give up 400 yards in every single game.
I know, but they were one play probably away from making the playoffs last year. That's how dynamic that offense is. They have a new coordinator, but you're right. Things seem very disheveled is the word I would use in Cincinnati on defense, and it's going to be fascinating to track them, but clearly, they're still very, very dangerous. I might pick the Steelers ahead of them. But let's see how things progress here with Hendrickson and company, right? They have Burrow, Chase, and Higgins.
Right, and that's significant. It's huge. And if that type of offense can put up significant points and just outscore everybody, how much of a defense do you necessarily need? But then again,
they missed the playoffs last year.
They missed the playoffs last year, and I will throw back at you, what about that killer B offense for the Steelers? Remember they were talking about scoring 30 a game, and that was the goal with Todd Haley running the ship with A.B., Le'Veon, and Martavis Bryant with Ben and Boswell as the other killer B in that secondary that had the likes of Artie Burns and Sean Davis and Mike Mitchell in it and Antoine Blake and those guys and Ross Cockrell. That couldn't really.
Oh my God, I forgot about
remember
him.
Remember Ross Cockrell?
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he wasn't that bad.
Billy was bad.
Antoine Blake wasn't very good. He had moments. Mike Mitchell was not very good. And those are the defenses that ended up costing that team a chance of winning a realistic Super Bowl. And it could be the same thing that happens with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Next.
Joe, Zach Azani, the Steelers wide receivers coach, was speaking to the media today. He declared Calvin Austin as the Steelers wide receiver too. How about that, Joe?
What about Bob Woods? How does he feel about that?
Well, this is what...
which I'm okay with, because there's a lot of really cool little pieces there that, you know, are sneaky. And so everyone's downplaying, underplaying our group right now. I love it that way. I don't really want anyone looking at us anyway. It'll be good. So I think that two spot is all Calvin's right now. And really, you know, him and DK are such different players that, you know, there's going to be plays where he is the one guy because that's his route and vice versa because they're so different. You know,
that two spot is Calvin's right now. What do you make of that?
I'm not totally shocked by it. I thought he took some strides last year. He reminds me a little bit of Emmanuel Sanders early in his career. And he, of course, just absolutely took off when he went to a real offense with Peyton Manning throwing the ball. But I thought last year when they actually incorporated him into the offense and didn't just say, you know, run a go route every once in a while, if you're even in the game, he looked pretty at home. I think he can take that step. I think I'd rather have an established guy. I can tell you that for sure I would, but I'm not surprised by it.
I'm a little surprised that we're looking at just mandatory minicamp, and Zach Azani is coming out saying he's the wide receiver too, being Calvin Austin. And yesterday, Carl Dunbar came out and said that Derek Harmon, yeah, you can write that Derek Harmon is going to be the starter at left defensive end. I mean, I'm just a little surprised that, you know, an organization that typically likes to shy away from all of that is coming out and saying, yeah, Calvin Austin, sure, he's wide receiver too.
Maybe.
Yeah, sure, Derek Harmon, he's definitely going to start.
Maybe there should have been a declaration of competition and nobody has a job. I would agree with you there.
You know, like
Roman Wilson gets a crack, Bob Woods, maybe even Ben Skoranek if you listen to Kabali, right?
Even if it's just coach speak, but just to make Robert Woods think that he has a chance to fight for wide receiver too, or what Roman Wilson an opportunity, or what does this make on the defensive line? I mean, Derek Harmon might be different because he's your first round pick and everybody kind of expects that, but I'm somewhat surprised to see the coaches come out and say that. A couple of texters chiming in that they think Dan Muse sounds like Tyler Kennedy.
Tyler Kennedy. No,
Tyler
I didn't.
Tyler Kennedy.
No, I didn't.
Tyler Kennedy. Kennedy. Kennedy.
I have a man named Stephen Corcoran tweeting me.
Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. Why doesn't he just call the show? Listening to you on The Fan, wondering why you think Fields will have a better season than Rodgers. What did Fields do in all his seasons with the Bears and in his lone season with the Steelers that makes you believe that? I'll wait. And then he comes back and says, Starkey just said recent track record as to why he doesn't like Rodgers. And meanwhile, he wants Fields in his recent track record. So, Stephen, you failed to understand what the other... Is this the same Stephen as yesterday? It might be. Because that guy failed to do what this guy is failing to do. And that is put it in context. I do not think that Justin Fields is going to be a legit, like, good franchise quarterback. I don't. I don't think he's a good passer of the football.
41 is just a freaking number, buddy.
Think it's that guy?
No, the other guy previous to him who said because he's a biker at 51, well, Rodgers will be a good quarterback at 41.
No,
remember him?
That was Greg in Youngstown.
All right.
The other caller was Steve.
So don't mistake me saying I would want Fields over Rodgers as me saying I would want Fields as my quarterback. Like with the whole, you know, league or whatever, or I think he's good. I don't. I think it's a bunch of bad choices that they had and that he's a better choice than Rodgers. Look at Rodgers' recent track record. Again, 23 interceptions in his last two seasons. He wasn't good last season. Period. And I think Justin Fields in New York has a chance because he's an elite runner to have a better year than Rodgers. So if I tell you Rodgers is going to be mediocre and Fields is going to be slightly better than mediocre, maybe that's the best way to think of it.
Yeah.
You're mistaking it, Steven, as me saying, I really love Justin Fields. I think he's going to be really good. So please don't mischaracterize what I'm saying. Why do you think, with your little laughing emojis, why do you think, and I'll throw them back at you. Here, I'm throwing him a laughing emoji. One after the other. Why do you think Aaron Rodgers is really good? Is that what you're saying? You think Aaron Rodgers right now is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL? What are you, out of your mind? Did
Not
you watch
10.
The games last year? He was Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson is him. Ankle is fine. What was the line in Ace Ventura?
Ankle is something.
Finehorn,
and
Finehorn is ankle.
Ankle.
Yes, even though that's the wrong name. I don't know. Eichel, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, this guy fails to realize the context here. So why don't you call the show, Stephen, at 412-928-9370, and you tell me why you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be so good. Okay. Yeah, Justin Fields played in Chicago. You're right. I don't know that too many people would have succeeded in Chicago in those years, I might add. I think he's going to be better than Rodgers. I think last year, what was he here? What was his record here? He threw for 1,100 yards in, you know, a handful of starts, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, and he ran the ball well. He won some games. I don't think Rodgers is going to be very good here. One guy will be mediocre, one guy slightly more than that. So don't characterize me like I'm you know, a card-carrying member of the Justin Fields fan club, okay? Open your brain a little bit. Who's next?
All right, next up. Sean Payton believes the Broncos have a chance to have a very good defense in 2025 and thinks that the Broncos are going to take a step up this year. Do you think that Denver is a playoff team, and would you rather have Bo Nix than Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, please. Bo Nix is a rising young quarterback in the league. Are you crazy, Limits?
I asked the
question.
Of
course I'd rather have Bo Nix than Aaron Rodgers right now. People have lost their minds. Every time Aaron Rodgers plays, all right, let's go over his numbers again. And I agree with old Sean Payton, even though I don't like him very much. I think the Broncos are absolutely a playoff team. So Aaron Rodgers against playoff teams last year. Remember we did this little exercise yesterday, O Limitless Wonder?
Yes.
And it was very revealing, I thought. Against Denver and Bo Nix, 24 of 42, 225, no touchdowns, no picks, and a 72 rating. That's not good. Minnesota, 29 of 54, three interceptions, and a 54 rating. That's not good. Then they lose to Buffalo. He's okay, 23 of 35, has a pick, couple touchdowns, but they only score 20. They lose. The Steelers were a playoff game. Do you remember Aaron Rodgers throwing two passes to Beanie Bishop? They lose 37 to 15. He had a real good game against Houston. That was his one really good game against a playoff team. 22 of 32, three touchdowns, no picks, although they were struggling at the time. Then the next one was against the Rams. They lose 19 to 9. He goes 28 of 42. Then he's horrible against the Bills. So you tell me, Stephen Corcoran, why you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be so good? And my Justin Fields opinion has very little to do with his Bears career, by the way.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.